Thank you, gentlemen. In order to prepare for our second session, we will pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use a rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, again, we thank you for yet another opportunity to continue our pursuit of your truth. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will guide us regarding the things we're about to examine, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Might throw this out as an aside before we begin our next session. That client nation America is on the precipice of some form of disaster. It has been brought about and it is in the process of culminating in a horrible zeitgeist for this country. How it plays out remains to be seen. There are those individuals that want to run the country. They are incapable of doing so honorably, but very adept at tearing it down. They know how to do that. And they want to have the power to do so with unanimity. Also, as another individual who has led the country to great areas of prosperity, but for whatever reason was voted out of office by the current administration. He's trying again. The opposition fears that. They are right on the precipice of acquiring the power for which they lust, to overturn client nation America to a level that they've always dreamed of, and they're right on the verge of doing so. I will make a suggestion to you about what you might add to your prayer time. If there's one individual that needs your prayer, it is a guy named Donald J. Trump. He is in the crosshairs. They want him gone. They've prosecuted him on four different areas of law. He's been shot at twice. This is client nation America, and there have been two attempts on the assassination of a presidential candidate in the United States. Pray for that man. If you do any praying, pray for that man, because his health is an issue because he's in their crosshairs. And client nation America is therefore in the crosshairs if he doesn't regain the power that he once possessed. But instead, the opposition will take us down a very dark path. Pray for the man. We're on page 325. I want to repeat the passage we noted in closing the first session. Colossians 1:27. To whom God has decreed to make known what is the wealth or the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, that's the indwelling of Christ in you, the hope or confidence of glory. H, you actually have the greatest individual wealth ever given to believers in any time of human history. Without understanding the mystery doctrine, you are wealthy without knowing it. The glory is Jesus Christ himself, who set up all precedents for this dispensation during the great power experiment of the hypostatic union. That was a concept. The hypostasis. Let's see if I've got a picture. We can take a look here at the dispensational chart that I brought with me today. There are two theocentric dispensations. They are now past. Gentiles and Israel. We have the Christocentric dispensations of the incarnation of Christ, followed by the dispensation of the church. We're presently in the second half of that category. The rapture of the church, therefore, is on the agenda. As we've been studying James, and we've made it all the way down to James chapter 5, verse 19, some of the things we noted in James's foray back to 1 Kings are things that had to do with priest nation Israel, people who were running that show at the time when the reflection by James occurred into 1 Kings. And we noted some of the things that were going on then for the priest nation, who was running the show and what they were up to, which was evil. He was actually sent to straighten things out, what you might call the northeastern corner of what we call Israel today, northwestern corner. His job was to expose the dark side. Same thing is going on right now. Israel, a priest nation, was under assault from those who were presently in power. Nothing new under the sun, is there? But that's what was going on in the passages we've been noting in James and in 1 Kings. And it got me to thinking about client nations and preceding that, priest nations. Israel was a priest nation. The church, client nation. We presently are a client nation, teetering. Of all the client nations in Europe, starting with Rome and moving westward to England, ultimately to Massachusetts, we have the gradual migration of Christians coming from, let's say, Jerusalem all the way to Massachusetts, and then ultimately client nation America. The dark side is always concentrating on the overthrow of power by those who are representatives of the God of this universe. And there's nothing new about that. That's why all priest and client nations have fallen up to this point. We teeter. This has nothing to do with recommending something politically. That's not my job. But I'm not stupid, neither are you. I see client nation America in the crosshairs of the dark side. There is an individual who apparently is running for the office of the presidency. The one asset that that individual has is the ability to grin. The inventory of ideas is seriously lacking. But it doesn't really matter, because all she would be doing, if given the power, is to simply hold the spot for the guy really running the show. Who wants the fourth administration of his administration, the fourth tour through the White House, is Barack Obama. That's all that's going on. And she's the hyena that hopes to gain the power. I ask you to pray for this man over here. Pray for Gary Watson, who needs your prayers because he's got the COVID. Pray for those that you know that need prayer. And pray for Donald Trump. Because all of these things depend. And every person mentioned, everything depends on whether or not we can pull our national fat out of this fire. I'm going to say an amen here in a little while. And we'll all go back out into those streets out there, River Road. You'll be taking with you whatever inventory of biblical absolutes you have concentrated upon, aggrandized, facilitated, possess, to make good decisions from a position of absolute truth. That's the ace in the hole that believers have in a client nation. All you have to do is say, Father, and you've opened the avenue to express your desires and your wishes. Prayer is the secret power we have in the midst of chaos. Use it. The glory is Jesus Christ himself, who set up all precedents for this dispensation during the great power experiment of the hypostatic union. Paul names just one of the many aspects of your wealth, which is Christ in you. That's the, you possess Christ, he is in you. This refers to the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory and the guarantee of your escrow blessings. Hope means very strong confidence. Christ in you is your confidence of glory. You have glory that is found in immeasurable wealth in the things God has provided for you in your portfolio of invisible assets. You have that power, and it can't be seen. You possess it, but they don't know about it unless you reveal it, which you're free to do if you wish. Colossians 1:28 reads this way, which we solemnly communicate, warning and teaching every believer in all wisdom, that we might present every believer mature in Christ. Solemn here is used in the sense of being important, requiring concentration. It also means to explain the technical details. Means to explain something technical, the listener must concentrate. This also means to keep teaching, being consistent in learning mystery doctrine. That is, what is God's plan and his purpose and his will for you in the church age. Learn what he wants for you. Accept it. Act on it. Then we have warnings. Warnings are such statements as, you will be a loser if you miss out on this. Pretty free. Show up at Bible class. Take advantage of the electronic contrivances. Concentrate. Grow in grace. Broaden your inventory of biblical absolutes. And then execute them. Biblical absolutes. The nation will go under unless you get personally with God's plan. All you have to do is use your free will. You will have a miserable, frustrated life unless you learn these things. You never teach in a solemn manner without warning of the consequences of rejecting the information. It's easy to do. You use your free will. There's absolutely no reason to avoid consistent intake of the Word of God, and we have provided at this church for almost 40 years, more than that, really. We started out a little beforehand down in Chesterfield Day School. It was in November, I think it was. A little over 40 years. And there are some of you that still remain after all of that. Some of you have died, going to be absent of the body, face to face with the Lord. Some have moved away. What they do is Doritos, I don't know. Some of them, I'm sure, are there. Some have absconded. That's their privilege. But the end result is this. And, you know, I've been at this for almost 40 years. Here's what I have to say about that. I walked in on Joe Henry one day down in Troy, Alabama. She had a Schaefer in her lap doing whatever mamas do. And I said to her, Joe Henry, I've made a decision. She said, what's that? I said, I've decided we're going to move to Houston, which I expected at that point she'd have a brain stroke. But all she did was look at me and say, why did it take you so long? I said, well, you're holding one reason right now. So I went down there for about 7 years, which I call in-house seminary, the guru. And then somebody, like a fellow by the name of John Smith, of all names, called me on the phone. Won't know if I come up there and pretend to be a pastor. So I came up here and I did the duty of giving what they call trial sermons. Let's call it tryout. I came up here to try out. Then when I got done with it, I said, I'm going back to Houston. Now that's that. They said, well, we got to have a deacon's meeting and then poll the congregation to see if they want to get you up here or not. I said, fine, whatever. I'd already been to Sioux Falls, and except for the Ristes and one of their relatives. That was a learning curve for me. I can't put in words the vacuousness of that particular experience. Except for the Ristes and their relatives, which are maybe accounted for about five people, I couldn't get out of town fast enough. And then John Smith called, and you know the rest of that story. But why am I telling you this? I got trained on tapes, 7-inch reels, in Alabama for years. Before the colonel for 7, and then up here for almost 40. And I can tell you straight-faced that my experiences over that period of time, which is in the neighborhood of 50 years, I have never deviated from the standards that have been presented to me from the Word of God and from those under whom I studied. There have been those who have absconded from this church for reasons that are known only to them, but I'll tell you this. It was some personal attitude that led them out the front doors. And if they say it has anything to do with the way I was teaching doctrine, they simply did not know what they were talking about. I didn't go to bed this morning until 2 o'clock. A little bit before, about 1:30-ish. I don't get up from my desk until I'm satisfied I'm ready to go the next day. It doesn't matter whether I'm... Joe Henry and I watch Nora movies on Sunday afternoon. You know what Nora is? N-O-I-R. Noir, says the guy on TV. Sticker, noir. Noir. And it's a creepy movie. Bad guys are involved. Are the people going to be able to survive? Like, if there was going to be a good noir movie, just go to television and what's going on in this country today, and it would be a war. But I can stand up erect before you and say, I have not deviated from the standards for almost 40 years here. How about warnings? Warnings are such statements as, you will be a loser if you miss out on this. The nation will go under unless you get with God's plan. The warnings are out there. You will have a miserable, frustrated life unless you learn these things. You never teach in a solemn manner without warning of the consequences of rejecting this information. Wisdom means the one who teaches must know the information. Round figures, 50 years of this, starting in Lower Alabama, Southeast Houston, St. Louis County, St. Charles County. The pastor teacher must present the members of this congregation at the judgment seat of Christ. And I will have to stand up straight and say, best I could tell, I did the best I could. The pastor teacher must present the members of his congregation, must do so at the judgment seat of Christ. Yet his job is to present you mature in Christ. People who have absconded other than death have chosen to leave exegetical analysis, which I've been doing here for almost 40 years. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Now, I know that I'm not a very entertaining guy. I'm very boring, I know. And I can also tell you that I don't leave my desk unless I'm satisfied with what I've done that day. I didn't just start this. This has been about a 50-year project. And the more you do it, the more details you want to infuse into what you're going to say. I'm not as smart now as I was the first day I went out. I was real smart then, and I made a good decision to go west. Go west, young man. Wisdom means the one who teaches must know his information. The pastor teacher must present the members of his congregation at the judgment seat of Christ, yet his job is to present you mature in Christ, and so Colossians 1:29. Toward this goal, I also labor, struggling according to his power that powerfully works in me. The most exhausting work in the world is using your mind. This is required constantly when studying the Word of God day and night. Muscle exhaustion is nothing compared to mental exhaustion. Striving means studying the passage over and over until you know it enough so that you can then teach it. The enabling power which works in him refers to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 and 4. As I urged you when I was leaving for Macedonia, stay on in Ephesus to instruct certain people not to spread false teaching, not to occupy themselves with myths and interminable genealogies. Such things promote useless speculations rather than God's redemptive plan that operates by faith. By faith means it's easy. All of this is really easy because the Holy Spirit's the teacher. And if it's why is it easy? Because the Holy Spirit can teach it to you if you're positive to wanting to know more. Just concentrate. What have you got to do? Why do people come to church and sit in the chairs and not concentrate? I don't know how that happens. I used to do it, so I understand that. I was told I had to go to church on Sundays, first church, and me and the guys would sit on the back row underneath there was a balcony, so you get in the shadows underneath the balcony. We were not paying attention. But that, we were there. We had on our go to Sunday meeting clothes. We were looking good. Categorical outline of dispensations. How about that? Up on the board, you see this. I just leave that up for you. The theocentric dispensations are the two in the Old Testament. So you see that there, theocentric. Gentiles and Israel. When we look at James, we're looking at what is called the church age. When we look at 1 Kings, we're in the dispensation of Israel. But nevertheless, James is going back to Israel to note concepts and ideas that will assist him in the church age. A, the dispensation of the Gentiles began with the creation of mankind and continued to the Exodus. Number one, era of positive volition was from the creation of man until the fall. That's the Garden of Eden era. Volition and marriage as divine institutions both failed miserably under perfect environment. See, even the environment can be perfect, and yet the souls of men will go south on you. Number two, the era of negative volition was from the fall of man to Abraham. There were two more divine institutions, the family and nationalism. This was the era of great disasters on the earth, such as the angelic infiltration of Genesis 6, the universal flood, and the Tower of Babel. The era of patriarchs was from Abraham to Moses. Technically, the Gentiles began with the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This era sees the creation of the new racial species, the Jewish race, which began with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It includes the history of the Jews from Abraham to Moses. Abraham was the father of the new racial species created by God with Abraham at age 99 when he was circumcised. Circumcision was the demonstration of Abraham's use of the faith rest drill. So this dispensation included both Jews and Gentiles without any client nation function. Notice there's no client nation there. Priest would be the concept. Then we have B. The dispensation of the Jews, or Israel, runs from the Exodus to the birth of Christ, B.C. 141, until 4 B.C. So it's a dispensation of the Jews or Israel. It runs from Exodus to the birth of Christ in B.C. 1441 until 4 B.C. Now, that's questionable here. It's hard to figure out before we switched over to A.D. when precisely the division occurred on the calendar. Some say it's 2 B.C., so take it or leave it. However, God gave Israel an additional 74 years into the Christocentric dispensations. The Passover was the sign of a new dispensation. So the sign that they were about to go out under the fifth cycle of discipline was the gift of tongues, starting on the day of Pentecost, which evangelized Jews in Gentile languages. You see that in the New Testament. They thought people were just had lost their minds, were speaking a foreign language, etc. But it was sent, that was speaking in tongues. What does that mean? Knowing a language that you do not normally use or possess. How'd that work? Well, I can't tell you other than it worked. Somehow, these people that want to communicate the gospel to fellow Jews were able to do so. Therefore, they were being led and taught by those that had the knowledge and inspired them to get out, for example, in the streets of Jerusalem and tell about Mashiach, the Messiah. So there's some sub-points here. Number one, the Exodus was the calling out of Israel as God's first client nation. Two, Mosaic covenant. Three, unconditional covenants, Abrahamic, Palestinian, and Davidic. Four, the new covenant of Israel, which emphasizes how the other three covenants will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. Five, there are five Jewish client nations in the Old Testament. Now, I can say to you, I think more precisely, the terminology here should be priest nations, but you get the drill. 5a, the theocratic kingdom, the Exodus of Samuel in B.C. 1441 to 1020. B, the United Kingdom, Saul to Rehoboam, B.C. 1020 to 926. C, the Northern Kingdom, Jeroboam to Hoshea, B.C. 926 to 721. D, the Southern Kingdom, Rehoboam and Zedekiah, B.C. 926 to 586. I think that should read 721. The Babylonian captivity, B.C. 586 to 536. That is when there was a client nation, but instead visible heroes like Daniel and Ezra and Nehemiah and Zechariah. That was a period of about 490 years. This was a period of 70 years to get back to the Jews, the 70 sabbatical years, which they had ignored over restoration of Israel as Judah in B.C. 536 and following. G, by 4 B.C., the Romans were occupying the land and Judah was no longer functioning as a priest nation. I think priest would be a better term there. Yet the Jews were still given tremendous grace opportunities for 74 years until 70 A.D. They were permitted to continue as a nation, but not as a priest nation or a client nation, if you prefer. The final administration of the fifth cycle of discipline came when the Jews were completely wiped out and scattered across the earth in A.D. 70, though Israel had not functioned as a client nation to God since 4 B.C., or more accurately, the priest nation. So that's quite a lineup. Had to do with the Jews. God's chosen people. Secondly, Christocentric dispensations are two in the New Testament. A, the great power experiment of the hypostatic union runs from the birth of Christ in B.C. circa 4 to the resurrection and ascension of Christ in A.D. 30, a period of 33 years. This is the time of the incarnation or first advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the time of the Gospels. B, the great power experiment of the church age runs from the day of Pentecost, 30 A.D., until the rapture of the church, time unknown by all but God. It is divided into two parts. Pre-canon period, the time of the book of Acts, and temporary spiritual gifts runs from 30 to 96 A.D. Secondly, the post-canon period, the period at present, runs from 96 A.D. to the rapture of the church. This is the era of the epistles of the New Testament. Then we have eschatological dispensations, of which there are two. A, the tribulation or doomsday dispensation, the great power struggle from the rapture of the church to the second advent, also called Daniel's 70th week, is technically the end of the Jewish age. From the book of Revelation, it must also be classified as a time of Satan's desperation, which lasts 7 years. It is prophesied in the Old Testament as well as by our Lord in the Olivet Discourse of Matthew chapters 24 through 25, in most of his parables, and by John in the book of Revelation chapters 6 through 19. B. The millennial reign of Christ runs from the second advent of Christ to the end of human history, lasting 1,000 years. It is the time of the restoration of Israel and the fulfillment of their unconditional covenants. Israel will again be the client nation in history for the last 1,000 years. It is a time of perfect environment on the earth. It is preceded by the judgment of the baptism of fire, so that only believers will enter the millennial kingdom. At the end of the millennium is the judgment of unbelievers and fallen angels, and sequentially it includes the following. First, the second advent of Christ. Not first, but second. Two, the judgment of the human race coming out of the tribulation. The baptism of fire, in which there are two separate judgments, that of the Gentiles and that of the Jews. Three, the restoration of Israel. Four, the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. Five, the Gog revolution. Six, final judgments of history. The judgment of fallen angels who are cast into the lake of fire, and the resurrection and judgment of all unbeliever homo sapiens at the great white throne who are cast into the lake of fire. Four, eternal state includes one, all believers and resurrection bodies forever. Two, the destruction of the present universe. And three, the creation of a new universe. That brings us to paragraph E, the theocentric dispensations of the Old Testament. Paragraph 1, the dispensation of the Gentiles. And that's where we resume our study next Sunday morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of noting these things this morning. We've actually taken a look at all of human history. The dispensations are clear to us, and we know exactly where we presently function, and that is in the church age. We are and remain a client nation. It is our prayer for this nation that you will sustain it, that you will overcome those who would belittle it, overcome it, and therefore take it down and turn it into something quite different. You know all of these things from eternity past. We stand ready to do our duty regardless of the outcome. Stabilize us mentally and biblically and spiritually to do our duties in the face of all of these crazy, obnoxious concepts and ideas that are being bandied about presently in our client nation. We must be ready to apply your immutable word of God and then to stand fast with it. We lift our prayer of gratitude to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.